Edge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham and Rod Mullins, and we're going to talk here on this Wednesday, recapping NASCAR in California this past weekend. We'll look ahead to this weekend and some other off-the-track news maybe we'll work in as well. And Rod, first, let's start out in California. And as the NASCAR makes its West Coast, or continues its West Coast swing, Alex Bowman gets the big win. Ryan Blaney was there towards the end with another chance to make some news, and some bad things happened with him at the end. But recap for us, California.
Well, what can you say about California? But it was the, I guess, the kind of departure sort of thing, the recognizing of Jimmy Johnson, where he is making his retirement this year and leaving NASCAR. It was a salute to him. Of course, his wife, Chandra, and the girls got to display the start flag, the green flag, at the beginning of the race. And that was a whale of an honor for Jimmy Johnson to be able to have that, especially starting the race. But you know what was interesting about it? Jimmy Johnson stayed pretty much in contention toward the front of the pack almost that entire race. And there were some things that happened along the way. Yeah, they didn't maybe have a car that was good enough to get up there to the front, but it did run in the front several times, but it there to be able to hold it at the very end. I think that made a lot of difference, too. They just didn't have what it took to be able to get there. But here's the interesting fact about Jimmy Johnson, and then we're going to get to Alex Bowman. Jimmy Johnson never missed a lap in 26 Cup starts at the Auto Club Speedway in California. That is almost unheard of for somebody. And I think that's just an awesome award, especially at least prestigious award that goes to Jimmy Johnson, never missing a lap in 26 Cup starts at that particular raceway. And, you know, he felt like he had a lot to show the fans out there on Sunday. But the big story, of course, came back with the fact of Alex Bowman. Is a he could be one of those free agents at the end of the year. Alex Bowman looking at the possibility of, well, where does he go? But he comes up with a big win. Clearly, if you want to say it, he dominates. He dominates that entire race pretty much up until the very end. And like you mentioned, Ryan Blaney having bad luck once again, it kind of leaves Ryan Blaney scratching his head and wondering, what in the world can he do to be able to pull off a win? I mean, he's been in contention in three races so far this season. And what the bad thing about that is, he hasn't won any of them. He's been in the top three. He was there at this last race. But it's just been bad luck all the way around. And as Blaney said, he was telling Fox right after everything, he said, racing happens. They just corded a right rear tire. They lost a right rear there at the very end. A lot of people thought that they were going down gas-wise, that they didn't have any fuel to be able to make it the rest of the race, but it ended up being a right rear tire. They gave up a good finish, but still, you know, altogether, Blaney had finished 11th, or he finished 11th in this race on Sunday. So bad luck there for Ryan Blaney, but hey, good luck, and it, you know, for Alex Bowman vaulting him to the top of, you know, a lot of people's fantasy boards right now is saying this thing can finally be getting it done at Hendrick Motorsport.
A couple of interesting little notes before the race. Denny Hamlin, he finished sixth. He had to start the back of the pack, changed a shock absorber before the start. Also, the crew chiefs of Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Ryan Preece were ejected after NASCAR found illegal body modifications. Talk about that. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot last year, at least. NASCAR taking seriously the inspections before the races.
Well, I mean, you know, it was cut and dry. These guys had tried some kind of modification to the car. And, you know, I could pull it up and be able to read exactly word for word from the NASCAR book, but I won't bore everybody with that. But the main thing is, you know, when you try to make some unspecified body change, or at least a change to the body or something to the car, you're going to pay the price. And if you can't correct it in three times going through inspection, you will be ejected from the racetrack. And that's exactly what happened with JTG's crew chief this time around, especially with Ricky Stenhouse. And, you know, it's a sad thing that these guys have, you know, this may have happened, you know, at the track. This may have been something that happened back at the headquarters and stuff, or the at the race shop. This could have been something that they thought everything was legal and ready to go, and then when they get it for inspection, they find out that it doesn't need inspection. And even with all the corrections in the world, it's not going to change things. Now, that's where we kind of set the stage up for this next generation car that's going to be coming out next year. It's going to leave a lot less chances for you to be able to go and make these little tweaks and modifications on the car and then be able to think you're going to get by with it. This car is going to be on a standard frame. It's going to be with a standard body. You know, the only thing that's going to be different about this is going to be the nameplate on the engine and the nameplate that's out on the front of the hood. So NASCAR is telling these people right now, get ready for a new world. It's going to happen starting next year. And, you know, if they find some kind of change in the body then, well, you know, there's no excuse for it at that point. But, you know, with Stenhouse, with JTG Daugherty, whole thing happening this past weekend, it doesn't speak very good about it, because it comes back to being this single small operation that's trying to get by, whereas you've got some others out there that get a lot of funding or get some funding in from Chevrolet and maybe from some other people, but, you know, they're just going to try to look past it, move on, and try not to let that happen again. As for Denny Hamlin, let's just talk about Denny Hamlin for a minute. You brought that name up, and Denny Hamlin has really been getting, I think, more than anything, roasted and barbecued on Twitter here in the last couple of days by Chip Ganassi over the, what he did to him during the California race, and that was he put Kyle Larson into the wall, he hit him, and then didn't really think too much about it. I know they were kind of upset about it in the Ganassi pit, but it comes down to it, Denny Hamlin goes a step further. He goes and shows some old footage of them at a grocery store in some kind of a grocery race, shows him hitting Kyle Larson at that point. And then Chip Ganassi gets a hold of it, and he says, we're not amused by it here at the Ganassi shops. And, you know, rightly so. When you're popping down that much money and then you get get your post at the track put up against the wall, and then you're out for the rest of the day, or you don't have a chance of being able to be a contender. Yeah, you're upset about it. Denny Hamlin just kind of taking the high road with the whole thing right now, but Denny Hamlin is also kind of switching back and showing this kind of, I don't know, I almost want to call him, what was the guy's name back in the Bullwinkle cartoon, something about Snidely Whiplash. That's kind of what he reminds me of a little bit. It's like he's twitching an imaginary mustache here and just saying, wait till next week, see what else I've got in store for some of you out there. But I don't know. I don't know what the thing is with Denny Hamlin right now.
Yeah, that's a great thought there. A great visual. I wanted to ask you about one other guy and his run on Sunday. Clint Bowyer started at the pole, and he finished 23rd. What happened to Clint out there on the track?
I don't know. This is one of those things. Clint Bowyer. If you could listen to the radioactive feature that they have on, that Fox Sports has on during the in the following week, you will realize that there are a lot of beeps. There's a lot of dashes in there. You'd think it's somebody trying to send Morse code. But there are a lot of things that are muted out, and they're censored out because of just the severity of the cursing in it. And I'm telling you, if anything in the world can go wrong to Clint Bowyer right now at this point, that's what it seems like it's doing. I hate it for him. He came up with a great run, you know, for that qualifying effort. But then, lo and behold, I mean, everything just goes to pieces on the car, which kind of leads me to this next thing. Chevy has shown dramatic improvement this year. Chevy picks up this big win. Chevy has been in the top 10 in the first two races, and we'll find out where they go when they go to Phoenix this coming weekend. But Chevy has been showing some dramatic improvement. Joe Gibbs Racing, the Toyotas, although, you know, Denny Hamlin and some of them out there, they have finished well over the course of this early part of the season. But still, they're having some troubles too, and they are just stating to the fact of everybody, we've got to work on some things. And so I think the thing that's coming out of the Stewart Haas pits and also the camp is they're saying primarily, we've got some things to work on if we're going to be back in contention up toward the front of the pack. And I think that's what they're going to have to work on. I don't think it's anything of Clint Bowyer's fault. Clint Bowyer's a very capable driver. It's just a matter of how good the goods are underneath you when you get out there on the racetrack on a Sunday afternoon.
Okay, so we'll talk about Phoenix as we wrap our podcast up, but I got a couple news and notes things to work us through here. Some news involving smoke Retired in 2016, but he's talking about coming back on July 4th to run the Xfinity Series race at Indy and hoping to kiss the bricks one more time, I guess. The 14-turn, 2.44-mile road course. Talk about Smoke getting back in the, behind the wheel.
Well, I think it's overdue, you know, and to him, going to Indianapolis, it means so much to Tony Stewart, and especially on the 4th of July where they switched the races up now, and the Daytona race has moved to later in the season, and now the Brickyard race is taking place on the 4th of July weekend. You know, I think the scheduling now is starting to kind of wear on me a little bit more. It's starting to kind of come home to me. I mean, you've got Memorial Day, you've got the Coke 600, and the Indianapolis 500, felt better yet to have the Brickyard 400 now in a new place, and that is on the 4th of July weekend. And so Tony Stewart feels like it's a big thing. It's going to be cool making history according to what he's done by turning left and right. Now, he's not going to be on the track per se. They've changed that this year also for the Xfinity race. They're going to be going to the inner road course that's on the inside part, the infield of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And I think that's going to be great. He loves a road course. You know, he grew up 45 minutes from Indianapolis. And, you know, it's probably one of those things, too, that Roger Penske is kind of pushed it, Smoke a little bit to try to say, hey, it'd be great if you could actually break out of this retirement. Let's see what you could do with it. And I think he's going to have a fun time doing that on the 4th of July. Really wasn't surprised, but when the headline came out and really hit, and it came out more than anything today, I think it right around 9 o'clock is when it came out, I was really surprised by it. Getting a disc pick, I thought, well, they'll wait a couple of days, or they may wait a little while, but no. They wanted everybody to know about it now, and so that could be a big chance for Tony Stewart to kind of still show everybody he can still run with the best of them out there.
More news involving a road race. We got the schedule for next year's Speed Week, Daytona. We just had Daytona a couple weeks ago, but we're already looking ahead to 2021. And part of the schedule shakeup includes running the Busch Clash on the 3.56-mile road course that winds through the Daytona infield. So big news there. Also, the schedule includes 7 races and pole qualifying in a 6-day span. It's going to really help. With the fan experience is what we're hearing there, but give us more on this, Rod.
Well, this is a radical change from what has been, and we've always known the Busch Clash as, to me, it's been one of those things of who has sheet metal on their car once everything is over with, and you know, you use up one car and then have another one shipped down from North Carolina. This one's going to be a little bit of a different story. This is going to be one of those exhibition events for those pole winners, and it's going to be held during the night on Tuesday, February 9th. And like you said, it will mark the official start of Speed Week. It's kind of shortening everything down a little bit more. We will have this, Busch Clash sort of thing. We'll have the qualifying still on Sunday and everything for the drivers and so forth. But to me, this kind of puts things back into perspective. It kind of keeps this thing of, okay, you're on the oval, then you're on a road course. What else is next for some of these drivers? So I think this is going to be a big opportunity for a lot of these drivers to kind of get their feet wet, so to speak, on the road course early on in the season. And according to track president Chip Weil, he told NASCAR.com that they look forward to opportunities to differentiate the Busch Clash from the Daytona 500. And obviously everything they do around Speed Week is building toward the 500, so why not do this toward building toward the 500? You know, they're going to be racing this particular Busch Clash race. They're going to be racing it on the same course that the Rolex 24 takes place on. So it gives a little bit more, I guess, credence and significance to this. You know, this new 6-day schedule will begin with the Busch Clash, and then it will end with the Daytona 500, but coincidentally, on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2021. So I think it's a great event. I think it's going to be a great change for things coming up. And, oh, by the way, I don't know if you've got this on your agenda or not of us talking about it, but what do you think about the new single Mud Nut coming to NASCAR now? They've been talking about it and telling everybody about it, and they've made the announcement they're going to a single Mud Nut next year. What do you think?
Yeah, I just saw that this afternoon. I wanted to work that in so you could throw some thoughts in there. Yeah, I just saw that this afternoon as I was getting ready for the podcast here. What do you think the impact's going to be?
I think it's going to be tremendous. I mean, you're cutting down from, you know, those 5 lug nuts, and you're trying to go, and you're putting the stuff on them to make sure they stick on there. You're not sure if the impact wrench is going to be able to put those lug nuts on tight enough in order to hold the tire on. If you miss a lug with a lug nut and it goes off, you're penalized out of it. You know, if your tire starts getting loose or you start feeling a vibration in your car, it's time to pull into the fence and get serviced and find out what's going on. Obviously, get another tire on there and get 5 more lug nuts. But this time around with this, I think it's tremendous because it saves the teams a lot of pit time. It kind of cuts that down. They'll be moving in kind of a series of where they'll move around from one side over to the next. They'll get everything done. They'll get it done in really no time. They're going to be on a rim that's very similar to a street stock or street legal car like we drive normally every day. The rim's going to be a little bit different, but these tires are going to be 18-inch tires. They're going more to a smaller size tire, and I think it's going to cut down on a lot more tire usage, which these teams end up losing a lot of money having to go and get more tires sometimes during the course of a race because either the gear didn't do their homework or the track has just literally ate it up. And I think it's going to prevent a lot of the penalties and everything that's happening about the lug nuts and so forth, not getting them on there and then the tire being loose in the end result. So I think it's a great thing coming up. And I know there's a lot of NASCAR purists out there that are just totally upset about this whole thing, but what NASCAR is trying to do is make the sport more affordable. They need some new blood into this, and they've got to have some new blood, and if they can get some people in here and get some sponsorship behind them, you know, things could be looking up for NASCAR a little bit more, but we'll have to, you know, kind of wait off in the shadows and find out what's going to happen after these big changes happen in 2021.
Yeah, more economical, certainly, for the teams. More environmentally friendly, too. You know, the less you use, the better things are. So that is big news. I was definitely wanting to work that in, so thanks for bringing that up, Rod. Hey, let's talk real quick about the Xfinity Series. Harrison Burton gets the win this past weekend. Talk about that and his run around the track.
Well, Harrison Burton's been one of these drivers that's been looking for a big win prestigious win for quite a number of years. He's been in the sort of the smaller racing series, of course. I've covered him, had a chance to cover him down at the short track nationals down U.S. Nationals down at Bristol Motor Speedway. But Jeff Burton, this is his son. He's been racing in the Xfinity Series. This is actually, I think, his first full year that he'll be racing in the Xfinity Series. And the kid's only 19 years old, and he's got a lot of promise, really, there in the speed and behind the wheel. And Jeff Burton was just tickled to death with him winning the race over the weekend there at California. And we'll see if he's able to continue that coming up this weekend at Phoenix. He raced part-time in the ARCA Series, and so that's given him a lot of experience there. But he's also raced in the short track series, like I talked about, and he's picked up every little bit of experience he can, so I think it's a plus, and I think it's going to be real good for him coming into Phoenix. He might pull off another win at Phoenix, so that kind of track is very similar to a Martinsville and what he likes about a Martinsville, and so we may see him actually in the winner's circle again on the weekend at Phoenix.
I wanted to talk. We talk so much about the racers, the teams, from the manufacturer level. Chevrolet got its first win this weekend with the results in California, and it's looked pretty good throughout the first three races. Talk about things from that level. How Chevrolet's doing this year?
Well, I mentioned a little bit earlier, of course, Chevrolet had a good finish. Chevrolet is doing a lot better. It seems like that they have had an actual resurgence, I guess, so to speak, in the way that they have actually performed on the track so far this year in the early stages of the race. Now, the engine program seems to be going smooth. I think this new body style that they went to, which is it's a Camaro, it's a ZL1 something, I forget what the other letters are. After a while, you kind of get me lost when you get too many letters onto a far body and so forth, but they seem to be very happy about it right now. Chevrolet is really at the top of their game, and I think there are a lot of people in Detroit right now, especially with Chevrolet, hoping that this is not just some kind of fluke because they've been playing catch-up, it seems like, for the past 5-7 years, and finally for them to be back on top of their game it's a testament to these race teams of what they had done, trying to work and trying to improve on making that car a little bit better. Because, hey, who have they been competing against? Toyota and also against Ford. And Toyota has really been eating everybody's lunch, it seems like, from the get-go, especially with Joe Gibbs Racing programs. So it's been nice to see a Chevrolet back at the top of the pack and, you know, pulling wins off or at least finishing so dominant in the top 10, top 15 of the standings.
So we've recapped. We've kind of gone back in the garage a little bit and talked about some issues. Now let's get folks ready for Phoenix this weekend. What can we look forward to?
Well, Phoenix is going to be the first race on the schedule this year. Of course, they finish things up in Phoenix this year, and that will be for championship weekend. We're not going to Homestead this time around for the championship. It will be in Phoenix. And Phoenix has had some major restructuring, and they've had some major a major redo, so to speak, with the way that the track is. But a lot of the drivers seemed very happy with it last fall when they raced at Phoenix. Just picture a Martinsville, say, for example, a little bit, a little bit less banking in some places, but still very competitive racing. Sometimes it can be three wide, a little bit more stretched out, so to speak, than Martinsville. But I think that this is going to be a good test for some of these teams to get kind of, a little bit of a learner's course, so to speak, before they get ready for championship weekend coming up in the fall. A lot of these teams will be prepared for that coming up at the end of the year. They'll have already raced at this track once, and so they'll have a little bit of a better idea. It's always fun to race in the desert. They always like to race in Phoenix. They've got a good fan base out there. It's going to be a good race, and we'll have to see if Alex Bowman's going to be able to continue his positive and solid run that he had from California. But also, we need to look out for people that really love that racetrack out there in Phoenix. And you've got the people, even in the aspect of it, you have to look at Kyle Busch. You have to look at Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin likes that track. A lot of the Toyota drivers, they love it. Ryan Blaney likes that track. So there's going to be an interesting lineup of who they've got to be trying to compete for that win at Phoenix, that first win this year, as they get through the early part of the schedule. And then, you know, it's hard to believe, but about in 3 or 4 weeks, we're actually going to be at Bristol again. Bristol will be rolling around at the top of the month of April. And, we'll have at least a better picture of how things are going for some of these teams by the time they roll into Bristol first weekend in April.
Yeah, I know. And you'll be there for us, so we can look forward to that. That's always a lot of fun as we're getting ready for Bristol, us talking, of course, you being there. And so we look forward to that. But in the meantime, thanks for everything you do to keep us up to date on things, Rod. And hope to have we'll have you back on next week.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.